Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're getting an update on issues in Washington, D.C. with Congressman Tom McClintock, who represents the Motherlode region. Congressman McClintock, next thing I want to ask you about is President Trump recently put out his new budget proposal. Have you had time yet to kind of look through and see things that you like and possibly don't like in the proposal?
No, I've not looked at it carefully yet, but I have seen the overview, and I think it is a good faith effort to get spending back under control before it bankrupts our country. In our previous segment, I mentioned because of the tax cuts, the economy grew so fast, our tax revenues are actually higher than before the tax cuts, record levels of new revenues, and yet the deficit keeps growing. Why? Because our spending has been growing faster than our revenue growth. And that's ultimately now producing nearly $1 trillion annual deficits. If that goes on much longer, it's going to have a very bad impact on the economy. And the president has submitted a budget that I don't think goes far enough to bring it under control, but does put us back on a trajectory to balance within the next 15 years. That's too long. I don't think we have 15 years, but it's a good start. The problem is the Democrats are screaming he's not spending nearly enough. They want to increase spending even more, increase the deficit even more. And what's their alternative to his budget? They're not going to tell us because they're refusing to consider a budget this year. The budget is the entire framework by which we can control spending, and they will not even offer an alternative. They're just criticizing the president for not spending enough. My only criticism is we are spending far beyond our means, and if we don't bring that under control soon, we are risking a debt spiral that would lead to the kind of sovereign debt crisis that can actually bring down a country.
I'd like to ask you, too, a little bit about natural resource issues. You helped put a spotlight a couple of years ago on New Maloney's and the increased pulse flows that were planned. You know, what's going on with that issue these days? Is there still talk of increasing water releases?
No. Under this administration, thank God for Donald Trump in this respect, they have revised the idiotic rulings that were causing massive releases of water to the ocean, but that's only a stopgap. There is no option if we want to avoid future water shortages than to store more water. I mean, I'll tell you, I chaired the I'm serving as ranking member now on the water subcommittee of the House Natural Resources Committee. I served 4 years as chairman when we were in the majority. I'll tell you what I've learned in all that time. Droughts are nature's fault. They happen. But water shortages are our fault. Water shortages are a choice we made when we stopped building new dams back in the 1970s. Our population's more than doubled, and we've not added anything significant to our water storage capacity in that period. And the result is one of the most water-rich regions of the state is now hostage every time there's a drought. There's no excuse for that. You see, over the past 3 years, we've had very wet years. You've seen the massive releases of water we've had to release from our dams because we've got no place to store it. There are plenty of storage sites, starting with the Shasta Dam that was built in the 1940s to 600 feet of vertical elevation. It was designed to be 800 feet. Raising that the final 200 feet that it was designed to be would nearly double our water storage on the entire Sacramento system. And yet a very modest proposal to raise it not 200 feet but just 18 feet has been stalled by 20 years for environmental review. So we're not going to solve our water crisis until we build more dams, and we're not going to build more dams until we overhaul the radical environmental laws that are making a dam construction cost prohibitive.
How about fire resiliency, especially on public lands? What's kind of been the discussion on that topic?
Well, we were able to make some progress on that, at least in the Tahoe Basin. We were able to streamline the regulations that were made, and by the way, same laws that have made it cost prohibitive to store water, also have made it cost prohibitive to actively manage our forests. We used to send U.S. Forest Service foresters into the forest every year, mark off the surplus trees. We would then auction those trees to companies that would actually pay us to take them out of the forest. That assured that the remaining trees had plenty of room to grow healthy and strong. It meant we had resilient, vibrant forests, it also meant we had a thriving economy. The same environmental laws that have blocked water construction have also blocked our ability to manage our forests, and so now it actually costs us money to try to thin out excess timber before it chokes off the forest and the forest succumbs to pestilence, disease, a drought, and ultimately catastrophic wildfire. We were able to streamline those regulations for the Tahoe Basin. That has taken the environmental review for thinning for fire mitigation from more than 800 pages down to about 16 pages. It's taken the environmental review process on those projects from 4 years down to a few months. But unfortunately, we had to agree to limit it to the Tahoe Basin only in order to get it past the Democrats in the Senate. But it's now in effect in the Tahoe Basin. It's been a remarkable success, and I think that we can use that now to promote the same policy across the western United States. I've introduced such a measure, but in this partisan atmosphere, I haven't been able to get any Democratic co-sponsors this year.
Talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherlode Views, talking about a number of federal issues. Congressman, I remember a while ago there was some talk about changing the Endangered Species Act as well, but then there was some litigation that was filed. Is that still held up in court?
Actually, I don't know the current status of that. I mean, the Endangered Species Act is one of the major acts that has made forest management impossible. In fact, when I was up at the Tahoe Summit 2 years ago, I was talking to the director of the program that places alert cameras in the forest so that they can spot a fire the moment it breaks out, get right on top of it before it emerges into a conflagration. It's a group called Alert Tahoe. And as Director Graham Kent was telling me, the two biggest impediments to getting fire-safe cameras in the forest so that we can get on top of forest fires before they get out of control, two biggest impediments, the Endangered Species Act at the national level and the California Environmental Quality Act at the state level. Now, there's something desperately wrong with our laws when they are the biggest impediment to preventing forest fires in the Sierra.
You know, when you look at the state of California and the Trump administration, there's that ongoing feud going on back and forth with lawsuits and tweets and so forth. You know, what do you make of that situation?
I'm sorry, with this?
Kind of an ongoing feud between the state of California with the governor's office and the Trump administration.
It is a remarkable contrast between what's going on at the federal level, what's going on in California, and the effect of the policies. We're seeing a remarkable economic recovery in the United States. California now has the highest effective poverty rate in the nation. Crime is being cut across the rest of the country. Crime is rising in California. We're getting control of our immigration crisis at the federal level. Meanwhile, the state of California is releasing dangerous criminal illegal aliens back into our communities. I mean, I could go through the long list of differences in the policies between the Trump administration and the impact they're having across the country, and the Democrat control of the of Sacramento for these past 20 years. Wherever the left has taken control for more than a decade or two, you see the same economic and social and pathologies. You see rising crime rates. You see rampant homelessness. You see skyrocketing prices for housing, for energy, for water. You see businesses fleeing the state. You see the population leaving the state. Wherever the left seizes control, that's what happens. And so I it's a long way of answering your question, but the frictions between California and Washington right now are night and day. Washington is pursuing a path of free market economics that is producing a tremendous economic boom. Law and order policies that are getting the crime rate down and are securing our borders. In California, you're seeing exactly the opposite, and you're seeing exactly the opposite results.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Congressman Tom McClintock on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.